I wanted to speak about a very important topic, and perhaps even a related topic, that comes out of the personality of Avraham Avinu, as explained through Rashi, through the eyes of Chazal. In our parsha, we are told in Perek Yud-Beis Pasuk, Hey, Yigach Avraham Asari Ishto Vaslot Ben Achiv Eskol Ruchu Shom Asher Ruchashu V'es HaNefesh Asher Asu Bacharam. The famous Lashon, the Nefesh, the soul, that was made, that they made in Haran. What does that refer to? It's a weird formulation. And Rashi tell us, Shechnisum Tachas Kanefei Hashchina, that's referring to all of the Balei Tshuva, are really Geirim, we would say more precisely, that Sarah and Avraham were Zocha to make, they were spreading monotheism. Avraham Megayeres HaAnoshim, V'Sarah Megayeres Es HaNoshim. They were being Megayer, and they were spreading, forgive the expression, the gospel. So they were involved in Kiruv, we'll call it Kiruv Rechokim. A little bit later, not in our parsha, but in Perek Chavalev, when it speaks about here in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'yita Eshel, the famous phrase, V'yita Eshel, V'be'er Shava. So Eshel here has to do with a malon, and they were giving food, etc. And what does Rashi here say on Lamed Gimel? Chad of our paradise, etc. But we have this idea of Lahavi Mimenu Peros L'Orchim Basuda, right? They planted an orchard so they would have for their guests, the legendary guests, which we know they had, they could give them something to eat. And then, Rashi says, in the continuation of the Pasuk, Yikra, Shame, Yikra, excuse me, Shem, Bashem Hashem. What does that mean that they called the name of Hashem? So Rashi says, it's a continuation. They gave them food to the Orchim. So once they were giving them food, they were Karan Shem Hashem, i.e., Aide Oso Eshel Nikra Shmosh Al Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? After all, Ba'acha Sha'oklan Vashosin Amrilam Baruch Hu L'misha Achalta Mishalo. Right? It wasn't just that they gave them food, right? This is like Kiruv 101. Right? You can't just go start giving theological speeches. You come inside, have a warm cup of tea, have a little cake, make a bracha. Oh, and then the person associates your warmth and your food with making a bracha. Right? That's, you know, 101. And Avram was the visionary. And again, Rashi points out from Chazal that they made a bracha. So if you put two and two together, what you see is that not only was Avram involved with Kiruv, but part of this Kiruv was he gave them food. That's just strategic, number one. But number two is, he was back, but apparently says Rashi that they should make a bracha. So I want to ask a question. Why was Avram makbid that they should make a bracha? So the pashtus is, this is what I was just stressing a moment ago, that was the first step of Kiruv. Why make a bracha? Because it wasn't just saying, repeat after me words of humbo jumbo you don't understand. They were giving a little explanation. There's a God in the world. The God is the one who's the source of the food. So thank the person who's the source of the food. What? There's a God in the world, he's the source of the food. You come late, you gotta sit in front. But first get some kegel and then a piece of bubble. So the pashtus says that this is part of the Kiruv. But l'chaora, it's really more than that. L'chaora, it's more than that. Because that's, I'll say, b'kum ba'asei, or Mrs. Asei, was a good thing that Avram gave them to make a bracha. But what would be a los asei, what would be a problem if he didn't do it? Not just for l'shem Kiruv. What problem could it have been? Exactly. It could have been, otherwise, lifnei iver. Exactly. What does that mean?
What they claim?
Wasn't Avram a god? It's part of the process. If Avram was Makayim, first of all, number one, if Avram was Kam Kol Tarkula, more than that. Listen for a moment. Exactly. The Gemara in the Masechet Avodah Zarah and Psachim, it's a parallel Gemara, commenting on the Pasuk with Ivrei Sotim Hashel, says, you know, it doesn't just mean literally, don't put a stumbling block for a blind person, which you certainly shouldn't do. It also means you shouldn't give somebody bad advice intentionally. We all, especially Rabbanim, from Afreya, give people bad advice. But we were trying to give good advice, sometimes it turns out wrong. That's life. But with the Isra, the Araisa, is you shouldn't intentionally give somebody bad advice because you have some ulterior motive. And number three, the third level of the Halacha, say Chazal, is more figurative. That you should not put a stumbling block before the blind, you shouldn't put a temptation, you shouldn't help somebody sin. So first of all, just Agav, the Rambam, I think I may have mentioned this in a previous year, the Rambam in Perish Mishnayis in our Shabbos Limud, in Mesechas Shviyas, which we'll get back to. The Rambam says, what's the pshat that lifnei iver has anything to do with, it's talking about a stumbling block for a blind person. What's it got to do with this person? He's not blind, he wants to commit the Avera. So the answer is because his Yetzer Hara blinds him. He's blinded with the lust. He's blinded in the figurative sense by his. That's always a very nice, actually, you know, a little extra layer of meaning by the Rambam. But the bottom line is when the Gemara gives that example about the Isser, explains this, the Rambam says two things. The Gemara says two things. One is you shouldn't give kos yayin lenazir. So it's an Isser daraisa for nazir to drink wine. Don't give it to him, that's lef neiver. What's the other example? You shouldn't give Eiver Menachai to a Ben Noach. Lef neiver applies. We can't do anything to somebody, to give somebody else an Avera.
But he's not
is Mechim recognizing God?
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Good, fair enough.
Right.
Avram didn't hold like a bunch of
lemon. Very good, okay. You're putting too many topics together, good. So, the bottom line is that I want to use this as a little bit of a Pesach to speak both generally about Lifnei Iver, but more specifically about this Shaila. Leave aside, they were Jewish, they weren't Jewish. Are you allowed to give somebody food if they're not going to make a bracha? Right? So in this Rashi, you see Avraham with Makba, they should make a bracha. What if it's not Piyotcha? Right, you're in the middle of the desert, and they're starving. The only way they're going to eat is if they do what you tell them, so they're going to do what you tell them. But what in a more normal circumstance? Do you have to be Makba, they should make a bracha or not? That's really what I want to use as the basis of our shir. If we have time, we'll even discuss another related topic. So the truth is, on a simple level, this is an open and shut shayla, because of the Gemara. There's a Gemara, Masech HaChulin, and Avkuv Zayin, and Mubayz, which speaks about a person who has servants, he has a shamish. And the Gemara there says you should not give the food to the shamish unless you know that he made a bracha. Straight. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in two different simanim in Siman Kuf Samach Gimel. The context there is Netilas Yadayim. You shouldn't give somebody any bread if they didn't wash. And number two in Kuf Samach Tes, just a few, six simanim later, the Gemara the Ramah also again quotes the context of Berchas Hanenet, which is the more simple case. Like even in that Rashi, you shouldn't give someone a fruit if they're not going to make a borei pri ha'etz. It's interesting that in general there is a distinction that most Rishonim does not exist in the Gemara, but most the Rosh of the Rishonim create a distinction which is accepted for the most part of halacha, that there's two definitions or two layers of this halacha, one d'araisa and one d'rabbanan. The Gemara says in order to violate lifnei iver it has to be betray avra denara. To use the simple example, the food is on one side of the river, the person is on the other side of the river, and you got the boat. So the only way he'll be able to do the Avera is if you help him. So you have not just helped him, you've enabled him. That's the Isser. What if it's Bechad Avra, says the Gemara? Meaning, the potato, let's say it's also for me the potato kugel, and it's right there. So I could ask Dr. Leader to give me the potato kugel, or I could take it myself. Says the Gemara, that's not Lifnei Iver. Because it's Bechad Avra, it's just, it's Biyadi to take it. I'm too lazy, I'm distracted, so I'm asking him to give it to me. But that's not him enabling me, I could just as easily take it myself. If you just take the Gemara at face value, it's either all or nothing. It's either usher or mutter. Come along many Rishonim and say that's only true on a d'araisa level. But there is something on a d'rabbanan level called misayeya lo'ov de'avera. That even if you're not enabling him, you're just going to be party to his avera. He could do it on his own, but I'm being party to it. So true, it's not l'chneivera from a Torah level, it's not d'araisa, but it is mid'rabbanan prohibited called misayeya. That's a general concept. And it's interesting, the Mishnah Brura quotes it in this context about the brachas, namely, whose food is it? In other words, let's say it's, whose food is it? Am I the host? Or am I at someone's table, and he has food at the table, and he asks me to pass it? So says the Mishnah Brura, if I'm the host and it's my food, he's only got food if I give it to him. That's Trey Avra Denara. That is Daraisa, according to the Gemara Chulin. But if you're at his house, he's just asking you to pass the food, or it's his food, you're on a biking trip with somebody, and they have food, and they ask you to pass it to them, so then, says the Mishnah Brura, that would only be Misayeh. It's Osir. It's still Osir. It's only also Midrabanan. Because obviously, if you don't give it to him, he's just going to take it himself.
In my house, he's Makbid on Kzela, but he's not Makbid on making brachas.
Okay.
How yes. About you have non-firm relatives, inviting them to a simcha, and you know they're not going to make a brachas?
Yes, so, yes, good. This is it.
So you know that I don't invite them?
Right, no, you just don't serve them at the table. Don't serve them. Right, so you have to wait till the shir didn't end. But it's a good point. Yes, exactly. This is a good, that's a Shiloh. Exactly.
They'll be good to come back to the next one. You'll really have get it to hear that.
When you have this guy, wait, I had somebody who called me. I had someone who called me who was an Ovel. The Shiloh was, or the great niece was making a bar mitzvah for his child. You know, it was a veilless child. Like, can I go to such a bar mitzvah? So I said to the first one, just talking, do you really want to go or don't you want to go? I was like, are you looking for me to give you a head there, or are you looking for an excuse not to go? And that was a really pshat. That was a pshat. He didn't want to tell his aunt that he wasn't coming because he didn't want to go. He wanted to say that the rabbi told him he can't go. So, you know, if you want me to help you with your non-from relatives, maybe I could help you. But you have to wait to the end of the shir, okay? You have to wait to the end of the shir.
Can you draw the distinction between the bracha korah, which is the rice, and the bracha rishon?
You could. It obviously is worse for benching, but it's also under rabbanon too. Lifnei Iver is also under rabbanon too. The shaila is, which is a big lumdus, if I am lifnei Iver someone to do this at the rabbanon,
right,
is my iser only the rabbanon, or is my iser the raisa? Imagine that there are some shittas hold it's daraisa. Isn't that fascinating? I help, so let me finish the thought. I enable someone to be violating the darabanan, and I am over me daraisa. But I don't want that's taking us too far afield. What's important, Ellie, as a response to your question, is the bottom line is either way, it's usher. I can't do it. I can't do it even if it's a brichas anen, and even only darabanan. And they say, I'm also darabanan. I can't do that. That's the flavor, yes. We're going to get to it. Let's go slow.
Is it bad eitzah also the raisa? Bad eitzah? Is that the
raisa? Yes.
This gemara is not worse than a bad eitzah.
That's what some of the stuff. Yep. I knew you were sharp, but that's mama sharp. You're mechavin. You're Chaim Ozer uses such an argument. You'll talk to him afterwards. If it's mama, just a far field. Let's get back to our topic. So first of all, before we get to the ikra topic, I just want to mention to you a few kulas on related issues. For example, could you then extend this Gemara Chulin to a proprietor of business? I own a deli. I own a restaurant. A guy comes in without a yarmulke. Can I feed him the food? Take a different raya. I'm just trying to. It's a pretty good simon. He's not making a bracha. I don't have any corned beef. Okay, I'll take cookie. We don't have turkey either.
You take out a business people.
Yes! I'm talking about if you're a businessman. I'm selling. I'm not talking about giving. I'm talking about if I'm selling.
No, but you treat them someone to the meal. You pay for the meal.
Okay, that's, I think, the same as a host. That's not a different show. I think it's the same as the host.
Once he buys it, it's no longer your
authorized. That's my shayla. Okay, you want a good paskin? So I just want to point out, it's a good smart. I want to point out, you're right. There's many poskim discuss the shayla. I just want to point out, and just not the topic, just giving you a footnote to this year. The footnote to this year is the Meshiv Dover, the Nitziv, the Maharsham, Rav Israel Hildesheimer, and even more recently the Shevet Alevi, Rav Lozner, and Bnei Brak. If we had more time, they don't give all the same reason. There's an Olam Bifnei Atzma, just in the different reasons that they give. But the bottom line is they all agree that this whole Gemara has nothing to do with someone who's in business. As if I'm selling food, whether it's in a restaurant or a butcher, that's in Sid's case, there's a butcher, or something like a butcher, something like that, in all those cases they agree this halacha does not apply. That's number one. Number two is very interesting, this is a little bit what Joel was referring to, a little different. In the most recent volume of Ibris Moshe, which is published posthumously, so keep that in mind. But in that volume, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in which he was asked the shaila. It's a long siman all about inyanei lifnei iver. And there's 10 sif, osios. And in both os aleph and in os yud, he makes the same point, which is that, let's say you have a partner. Right? I have an investment business. And I have a partner. My partner isn't from. So what? We're in the office with our sleeves up. We're going to work in the numbers. He says, pass the potato chips. I can't pass it to him because he's not going to make a bracha. Or I want to go take. We need to go out to dinner. We need to, do the client thing. We have to make business small talk, that kind of thing. My adolescent Moshe says, it's interesting. It was not clear to me, aside from like the insert kind of intuitive gut reaction that okay, it's got to be allowed. He's trying to do more of that. It was not clear to me what exactly his reason is, but he does say twice in that tshuva that this does not apply to such a thing. If this is going to hurt your business, he's not going to want to be a partner with you. It's going to cause you hafzid because you can't function in a business partnership like that. So he says it doesn't apply.
He also owns it as part of the partner. It's his.
Shaz is a favor for me to give it to him, though.
You bought the chips.
Alan, the Nazir could own the wine. I still can't give it to him. Okay, so that's just two examples of things which are bechlal not shaykh.
We can answer all this.
I didn't ask a question.
You said
answer.
But no problem, I'm saying.
Okay.
Just like a person can invite someone who's not yet from to his house for Shabbos.
Who said? Who said? Who said?
We ain't got there yet.
As long as you offer him a stand,
who said? Who said?
Who
told? No, that's for sure not true.
If he refuses to offer,
that's for sure not true.
If you prefer the device, you can let him come.
For sure.
You put the book on the wall, and you look at it and make the book.
For sure not true.
Otherwise, we'll never get anywhere.
But if I have the time, that was the topic I wanted to get to, but we're not even on that yet. Let's talk about the food. Let's focus on food. Food is always Iker. So I'm just going to show you, there's a whole world of sources which are very fascinating that all start from a Talmid of Rabbeinu Yonah. If you know, in the back of Masechta Brachos is the Talmid of Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah there says a very cryptic line. Accepting the Gemara Chulin in its face value, there's no debate. So, but let's say the person is an Oni. I'm giving him tzedakah. I'm sure we're talking about a scandal. Obviously Israel is only going to give the from Jews, because if I don't give it, obviously Israel delivers a Shabbos package, so I'm not from Jews, I'm not going to make a bracha. So says the Talmid Rabbeinu, which again, from the Gemara, I might have thought that. Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, if you're giving to an Ani for tzedakah, it does not apply. Just take a step back. Why? That's nice. It's bleeding heart, it's good. Why? What changed? It's b'chalal not clear to Rabbeinu Yonah, it doesn't really say. And it's a humongous literature. He implies, well, there's a mitzvah because giving tzedakah. So some Rishon like the Beis Yosef asks, but if I have a servant living in my house, a shamish, achayoso is also a mitzvah, says the Beis Yosef. What's the chalit? The Gemara is talking about a shamish. So a huge literature. I'll just give you a little bit of the Rashi Prakim to try to resolve that question. Why, how it should be that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, there is this kula.
You can't say Avram, it should be Avram. Not worse. It's going to call him. We're going to see it.
First, let's say he's Jewish. Who's that? We would not say that. And I just want to point out, just to show you that it's complicated, the Ramah paskins both. The Ramah and Kuf Samach Gimel paskins about this, Yosef Daim, you can't give it to a person who's not going to wash. And Kuf Samach test, the Ramah also said you shouldn't give it to him if he's not going to make a berachas ananin. But if it's an ani, it's okay. So in the earlier Makaros are asking a Shaila on Rabbeinu Yonah, and the later Makaros are just asking a Shaila on the Ramah. How do you reconcile this Ramah? So The Beis Yitzchak Shmelkis. See, he says something which, if it's true, it's simple. It's just hard to believe it's really true. It's very controversial. But I'll throw it out there. He says it's simple. Asei doch halos asei. Mitzvah tzedakah. Los asei lechnei iver. Asei doch halos asei.
It's not at the same time.
If we were giving a shayla, we would harav on this basis. Look, I don't want to do it. But he says that. So I said, if it would be simple, that is right, then that would be the shayla. But just no, very few people accept that. A lot of people ask on this basis. Look, but he does say it.
The shamash, you have control over the shamash.
You can't make a guy do a mitzvah.
He's your employee. I mean, you can really control it.
You have leverage.
Oh, you're saying, okay, good. So you're looking a little bit of a chilek. Okay, good. Let's hold off on that for a second, please. So, a big literature comes up. There's the Taz and the Magen Avraham both discuss this. And they quote from the Bach. You know that the Bach was the Taz's father-in-law. So, Lav Dafka, he's going to agree with him. I was always jealous of the Taz. He got to live out every son-in-law's dream. And he's very often, not always, but he very often quotes his father-in-law to argue on him. So, they both discuss a Bach. The Bach is, I read the Bach three times. Each time I read it, I had a different mashmos from the Bach. He says a few different things in different pieces. I'm not sure what the Bach himself really meant. And I'm not even sure what they tried to explain it to him. But basically, one, it seems from the Taz and the Magen Avraham, as I understand it, that they want to give the following chiluk, which is not so much focused on ani versus non-ani, rather to do with right away versus delayed. There's a whole literature that emerges from this. Somehow, by me giving, the guy didn't wash, and I give him bread. So, washing should happen afterwards. It should have happened ahead of time. So when I give him the bread, I know he didn't wash. Yet. He didn't wash yet. So if I'll give it to him, for example, the washing of the Gemara, according to some gears, is I'm putting it in his mouth. So I know he didn't wash. So there, it's a vadai that he's going to be a violation. But a bracha, a brachas hananin, whether he did it or didn't do it, it wouldn't have happened yet. That happens before he eats. So therefore, say the Taz Magen Avraham, the way they try to understand it is, in the case of washing, it's right away, and therefore it's definite. As opposed to in the case of the bracha, perhaps it's indirect, and therefore maybe it's a case of suffik, and the way the Taz wants to throw in the tzedakah point, so it's a suffik if he'll make a bracha and I make a bracha, and it's a vadai mitzvah tzedakah. So maybe you'll say, that you're not going to be done with the vadai, for the something, as opposed to the washing. I is the ani. And the point is, he's being meduyuk that the Rambam made his point not about washing, about the ani, but about the brachas anenin for the ani. The way he wants to, it's very clever. If it works, I'm just not sure it works. But if it works, it's very clever. Imam Shi sews everything together. It says, even though it's tzedakah by the washing case, but there it's a vada that he didn't wash, and a vada the lefneiver who said you could do that. But by the brachas anenin, he wants to kvetch out that maybe it's only a suffik if he'll make the bracha. Even maybe it's only one in a million that he might make a bracha. One in a million is enough to call it a suffik, and therefore the vada of tzedakah will help that it's only a suffik, and that will overcome that. The truth of the matter is, whether that's correct pshat in this case or not, that svara of definite versus suffix, which I think somebody might have mentioned before, that is a pesach in a number of achronim to speak about that. For example, the Ksav Sofer, the Binyan Sion, or the Meshav Dover in the case of the butcher, which was one of the Meshav Dover we mentioned before. If you have a business and you're selling meat, so he says, how do you know? Why? Because the person's not from, they came in, but how do you know that I can make a bracha? So one of the Snif Malkil in the butcher case of the Netziv was the same idea that these Achronim were trying to say in the Bach. Namely, when it's a Vadai is one thing. The Gemara, the way they understood the Gemara was there's a Vadai. But if it's a Safek, even if it's a far-fetched Safek, we can rely on that.
Shamus is a Vadai, but it's Shamus?
That's how they understand the Gemara, yes. That case was a Vadai, yes. That's exactly how they understand the Gemara. This idea of Safek versus Vadai really goes back to Mishnayis Masech Tashvis. I mentioned this is the Shnas HaShemitah, it's our Shabbos Limud, we're learning Masech in Yoni Shvis. In the fifth parak of Masech Tashvis, they discuss a lot of Yoni Lifnei Iver, because the question is, can you give an Am Aretz, who you're not sure is going to keep Shvita or not, can you lend him or can you sell him a hoe, a lawnmower? Can you give him a keli, which could be used, leheter, leisser, I'm not sure if he's going to keep, he's not going to keep. That's Mishnayis discussed that in the fifth parak, Masechta Shviyas. And it comes out, it seems from those Mishnayis, that if it's only a suffake, whether they're going to violate, it's mutter. So some Achron Matz, as a Mishnah Rishonah, the Nosei Kelim Mishnayis says, what if it's Lefneiver's Daraisa? How could I say, well, if it should be Lefneiver, if I'm giving it to him to violate, the only way he can get a hoe, I'm the only guy who has hoes in town. If I give him the hoe, he's going to start with stumble. What else does he need a hoe for? He's going to be using it to do plowing on Shemitah, that's usher. So yet the Mishnah seem to say, no, it's a suffolk, if he'll do it, it's mutter. Shouldn't we say suffolk daraisa lechumra? So a number of Acharonim speak out, and actually in a tshuva of Aaron Cutler, which is Aaron says, I didn't bring a quote, I should have. He has a two-liner where Aaron Cutler says, very, very sharp. He says something very significant. He says, when it comes to a michshol, if they were to see a michshol, a suffix michshol is not by definition a michshol. If the evil of Satan michshol is by definition, I am tripping him up. Because he might go and rob a bank with the car. Oh, okay. So that's even more. Well, maybe there's other stiff and local there. I mean, I'll make the case maybe better for you, Joe. What if you sell him the car 5 minutes before Shabbos? Right? Say something you don't care. Yeah, good. Good, 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 good. So the so if it's a suffix.
That's not even a suffix. He drives every day.
Right. So let's leave aside what other answers there might be for that question. I just want to make this point that what you see from these poskim we're talking about in our case of the food, there's a broader literature on this idea that perhaps Lifnei Iver, if you could ever, and again, look over, this is a big kula, because in most cases you could probably figure out a way to make it doubtful. And you see many, many serious poskim who accept this idea. Whether they say that that's pshat in our sugya with the food is a separate question. But this idea in principle, it wasn't like the Magen Avraham and the Taz just made it up out of whole cloth to effort a Ramon Abach. This is a widespread idea, which is formulated one way or the other, that perhaps whenever you have a suffake michshol, perhaps Lifnei Iver doesn't apply, which is a very, very important yesod. I want to mention one other idea, which comes from a Ritva in Avodah Zarah, which is also very fascinating. The Ritva in Avodah Zarah speaks mamash like a brisker lamdan. Every now and then you get such a Ritva, such a Rishon. He says the following line is as follows. Lifnei Iver is only if you give somebody a chefetz of the isura. But if you give someone a chefetz of the hetera, which they could use b'derech iser, Joey, this is for you. This is your car issue, Joey. Then that's, by definition, says the Ritva, not lifnei iver. What do I mean? Huh? Not for a nozer.
The wine is mother.
But he, for a nozer, that's kaftan isura. For a nozer, that's kaftan isura. Let's go slow. Let's go slow. So he says, this, the Ritva is not talking about our Gemara. The Ritva is talking about Lefneiver in general. I'll get to the application of our Gemara. Let's just make sure we understand the Ritva. The Ritva says, if you give somebody something that either objectively, absolutely, or at least for him, it's 100% inherently problematic. A nozer can't drink wine. None of us can eat treif. So that is a defined as an object of isur. I cannot give that to somebody in a way that I know he's going to violate. However, if I give somebody something that's mutter, a glat, kosher, beach, that's a chesed hetera. He'll make a bracha with it. He won't make a bracha with it. That's his decision. I didn't do that. I wasn't mashal him. Mashal him is I give him something, if I give him the poison. If I give him something that's healthy, but it says, if you take it in quantity, it's healthy for you. And if you overdose on the pills, it's unhealthy for you. So would you say that I gave somebody, and the guy overdoses on the pills, did I make him do it? No, he chose to do it. But if I gave him poison, then I did it. Says the Ritva, there's a fundamental distinction. If I give him something that's inherently usher for him or for everybody, that's lefnei iver lo sitei mashal. But if I give him something that's inherently okay, but he chooses to use it in an inappropriate way, that's not my cheshbon. That was his cheshbon. That's what the Ritva says in general. So, the Stei Chemed, quotes from Anan Achronim, I don't know, they are, the Sridi Eish has an Achuva, where they want to suggest, perhaps going back now to our Gemara, and our case, that we could use this idea of the Ritva to explain it. Namely, in this, that when it comes to the washing case, again, because he should have washed already, and I know that he didn't, so unlike the other Achronim, say, therefore it's a Vadai, the way they say it is, therefore, for this person, the bread is already Chesed Yisura. I put bread in the mouth of a guy who didn't wash, that's already for him a chesed isura. As opposed to the case of a bracha, so again, as I said before, there's nothing wrong with the food, it's a question of what he'll do now. What he'll do now is up to him. That's not up to me, and therefore I define it as chesed hetera. And Joey, getting back again to your car once again, Rav Moshe has an achuva, this was when he was alive, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in which he accepts, again, not about this case particularly, but in general, he accepts this as an operative svara. And he says, for example, he says, if you wouldn't accept this, he says, it's so obvious, you could never sell anything to anybody. Could you ever sell anything to anybody who you knew was anything less than mamish a tyrant? Because he could use it for iser. See, if you assume that the person is a tyrant, so he doesn't do iserim, so I don't have to worry. But somebody who I know is nichshul and also doesn't, can I have forget a butcher, can I have a grocery store? Can I have anything? Can I sell pots and pans? Because if he comes home, he's going to cook tripe from the pots and pans. That's Ramosha's case. He'll cook basar b'cholim, it's daraisa. The bishul's a daraisa in the basar b'cholim. I can't sell him pots and pans? The answer is, of course he can, because the pan is a chafzadi hetera. What he'll do with it later is, that's his decision.
So what's the Gemara Chulin? The Gemara Chulin, you just again, have to the shear that you can't give.
Because again, the way, again, because they understand, again, that's why I said the Sridi Eish, the Stechem, and say, the Bracha case, the Gemara, that was not in the Gemara, that was the Ramah. Why that should be a problem is a good question, according to this. So that was not in the Gemara. So but in the Gemara's case was one of washing. And they say the washing case, they define that as a chesed isura because he didn't wash. So let me think for a second. What about that case? Let me think for a moment. Why is that?
Putting it in his mouth, he didn't make a breath. It's like washing.
Alan, not only is it a good question, the problem is it's too good of a question. So it's too good of a question, therefore I'm just not thinking of a good answer. It's too good of a question now. That's a big discussion. That's true. That's true.
Why did they have money?
That's not necessarily with Neva. That's a different one. Okay. I want to bring it home now to a very interesting topic, which is really the Kirov issue. Give me a moment. Okay. So until now, everything we're discussing, the svara lahachmir, the svara lahakel, it's all internal in the one issue. The shaila is: can we broaden? Can we broaden the mitigating factors? So the truth is that this Rabbeinu Yonah had mentioned something about, well, I'm giving an ani tzedakah. And the truth is, if you look at the lashon of the Rabbeinu Yonah, again, it's still not clear, but he talks about being niskaven lemitzvah. So maybe it's not just limited to tzedakah and ani, maybe broader issues are potential. One Pesach for us in this regard is a Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, again, in the Masechta Shviyos, says the following. When he talks about a Safek case, where she says is mutter, because of course, he says a Chazon Ish, if you wouldn't allow a person to give pots and pans and a hoe and a rake and whatever to somebody who's a Safek, says a Chazon Ish, again, I didn't bring the language, I should have, it's a beautiful Lashon, this Chazon Ish. He says, you're going to be mevatel the whole Torah's Gemilas Chasadim. You're going to break down society. How can people relate to each other? I have to be chashed that anytime I give anybody, I lend anybody something, he's going to use it for Isser. I won't lend anybody anything. Again, there are certain people who think that way. But Chazanish didn't. Chazanish doesn't think you should. So then you're going to be about to the whole Torah's Kamilas Chesed. And then you're going to have sinna between Jews.
That's what I meant by Eva.
You know, so the Chazanish introduces this. As, again, you don't have to assume that in every case. There are all sorts of reasons why you don't offer a guy a drink. Doesn't have to be, but the bottom line is, he says, if you always, he's talking about a case, would, if we would have passed him that anytime there's a suffix, a person could do something wrong, you don't give it to him, which would be extreme, he rejects it. Why? Because he says it would lead to a complete breakdown. Now, the reason I mention it to you now is because it's one of the Makaros that is introducing to us a concept that we're looking at a broader consideration. Everything we had said until now, we're a pilpulum and cheshbonus within Hilchos Lefi Yosidayim, so to speak, the narrow issue. All of a sudden, he's introducing a whole other category. And the truth of the matter is that it could be, now, however, just want to point out, the limitation to this Chazon Ish as it's published is that he only allowed us to think of this big picture, Alan, when it was only a suffix. I was kidding, in the case in the Shemitah, it's a suffix. But you could be Medayik, and Rosh Shlomo Zalman, even though he argued, we'll see, Rosh Shlomo Zalman, at least if you want to, what the Chazon Ish hold, he understood the Chazon Ish to mean specifically, if it's only a suffix that the person will do something wrong, I can look at this other big picture factor. But if it was a vadai, the person was going to do it wrong, I know he's not going to make a bracha halen. So what that is going to hate me? I still can't do it. So what that is going to be Eva? So what that is going to be sinas chinam? I can't do it. That, the least way of simple reading of the Chazon Ish, is that he is willing to look at a broader picture if it's only a suffix. Now, the bottom line is, if we'll take a step completely back, there is an earlier makar for this whole idea, which is a fascinating Rabbi Kiva Eger. The Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei and Simon Kuf Pei Aleph discusses the fact that a woman is not included in the Isser of Hashchasa, right? Makif, Nikaf, right? Hopefully it's not an issue for her, right? She doesn't have a beard, but the Shulchan Aruch talks about that. The Shulchan Aruch says, number one, it's a Masechta Kedushin, a woman is not included in the Isser of somebody else. She should go to the barber, and the barber takes the razor and does it. That's not an Isser for a woman. She's not included in that. And then says the Shulchan Aruch, V'yesh Omrim, it's not Usser for her to be the barber to a man. Yesh Omer. So asks Rabbi Kiva Eger. Excuse me, that Yesh Omer, excuse me, that it is Osir. Yesh Omer, that it is Osir for her to be a barber. It's Osir for it. So fract Rabbi Kiva Eger. What do you mean Yesh Omer? That implies that someone's going to argue? Forget Makif Nikov. At the very least, it's Isser Lifnei Iver. The man's not allowed to do it. I'm the the woman's the barber. So she is doing this Ashkasa Zakin to him. And for, you, I'm not saying it can be other answers, but Enfer Rabbi Kiva Eger, an unbelievable chiddush. He gave her, listen, if a man does it to himself, or that, or another man would do it, two Yisrei D'oraisa are happening, Akif and Nikaf. If only the, if a woman does it to her husband, Lamashal, there's only one Yisrei done, Nikaf. He's not allowed to have it done, but there was no Yisrei Makif here, and the man who would have might have done it himself is not only he's saved. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger. Isser is
lesser.
Both aspects. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger. Let's say even let's say Mishal means I can't cause him to have more averus. So if it's zero or one, even one averus is more than none. But if it's two or one, it's not. If by me doing it, by this woman doing it, she's being machil him, not being machil him, because he was going to do it himself. That's two isser daraisa. By her doing it, it was only one. You know Rabbi Kiva Eger? So he has this unbelievable chiddush. And this is not just a subject that Chazon Ish doesn't seem like. As soon as it mentions subject vaday, he takes it as a given. So here, yeah, this is probably the earliest marker that I know of, where you say you look at the big picture. Now again, at least in that big picture, they're still within the same halacha. We're not looking from...
So why should not have run with neighbor in that case?
Because, on the contrary, lifnei iver means I can't help, I can't push someone off the derech, if you will. Mm-hmm. Push him or further down the derech. But here I'm being fatzalim, because he was going to do two averus. Like, as I assume Rabbi Eger would have agreed that if you give him a Musar Shmuz and put your arm around him and give him some kugels, so he shouldn't do it at all, would be better too.
Yeah, this assumes he was going to do it
yes,
anyway.
Yeah, again, he hasn't discussed that, but I think that's obvious. So, Shlomo Zalman Arbach has a tshuva about our topic. And he doesn't. I still don't understand why he didn't go to Rabbi Gevager, because as far as I can tell, it's mamish doma l'raya. Shlomo Zalman has the case like giving the food, and in a specific case he described, he refers to it as an adiv, but I don't think the issue is per se, the way I read the Shlomo Zalman, the issue is not, because it would be very bizarre, even though I've seen some people quote him this way, some of the critical elements is that he was a rich person, he was a chashuv person, he gave money for Torah. This is not like a fundraising scheme. The bottom line is, what's the ikar point that says Shlomo Zalman? He's not from at all, but he respects Torah, and he's Muruv in B'nai Torah. So Shlomo Zalman, if I don't give him, or even if I'll say to him, please, could you put on a yarmulke and wash? Could you please wash? You might have said. But if either one of those, according to my judgment, will turn him off, says Shlomo Zalman Arbach, you give him the food. Why? Because for someone to become a Sonei Torah is far worse a problem than for them, that currently they're not from, but they still are respectful of Torah, and not washing. And for that matter, probably not even benching. So here you have, as far as I can tell, the biggest leap, the biggest chiddush that we know on record. Shlomo Zalman Orbach is saying we can look at a bigger picture. We can look at a bigger picture which has nothing to do with the particular tchum we're talking about. Mamish, it's a conceptual, it's a huge jump. Now again, I said that in a footnote, he makes it in a footnote down the bottom of the page, he thinks maybe the Chazish argues on me, because Chazish said a suffix, and I'm even willing to say, Torah's Vadai, he'll Vadai be over, but I'll be being matzalim from hating from kite, hating from Jews. That's a bigger mitzvah. P.S., and the authoritative biography of the Chazrish Be'er Hador, multi-volumes in volume 2. They have a story, and again, it's the authorized biography, in which some guy who was one of the Mekorovim of the Chazrish, he is made that he was in the house, and there was a Chiloni came to visit the Chazrish, it was a Vadai Vadai, the guy wasn't going to make a bracha, and the Chazrish gave him food. So how you'll square that story with what he says in Sefer, I don't know. But that is an example, or Shlomo Zalman probably know that story. When it says in Sefer, it seems to be only willing to say the suffix. Shlomo Zalman Orbach himself was willing to say even Torah's Vadai, and according to that story, so was the Chazanish. Rav Sternbach has a tshuva, where he also discusses this, and he's also willing to be mekil about the food. Al derech, exactly this idea of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I'll just mention, since it was already brought up, and it's not so simple, so let me make sure it's clear that it's not so simple, a very related and significant shaila is this of Shabbos imitations. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's relevant a little bit. Rav Moshe Feinstein has three tshuvas, and in one in particular, he is Eish Lahava. Any invitations to somebody who's not from are Osir Gomor. Not only the Isir to Arisa Lifnei Iver, he says you're a Mesis Umeidiach.
Right.
So Rav Moshe says this. Osir. So anyone who thinks that they're going to hold like Rav Moshe for everything, I'm a Rav Moshe Yid. Okay, but then not mutter. I'll give you the marmor covers. I don't hide anything from you. I'll give you the marmor covers. Look them up. However, clearly the minhag seems to be a little bit more liberal. At least I don't, maybe the Lower East Side, but the rest of the world. What's the mucker? So first of all, you should just know, Rav Sternbach, I was surprised of all people, but Rav Sternbach has a tshuva where l'shitaso about the food. He says heter gomor with no strings attached, not even any things you were talking about, cheshbonos like you, straight hutter. Why? Because my kavana is because me bekar of them. They'll see Shabbos, they'll ding zviris, they'll have an arm around them. So that's a bigger thing, even than chil Shabbos. To drive a car, you have any idea? You would get skill 1,000 times because each time the piston goes, it's another malacha to araisa.
Because they would have been driving anyway, and
that's not so simple, Alan. Alan, it's not so simple. Yeah, who says you're allowed to?
Oh, the guy with the car, Joe.
And Rav Mo, and Lamais, and I was told, I don't know if it's right, I was told that for NJOP, Rav David Cohn gave a similar psak. Now, it happens to be, why did NJOP go to Rav David Cohn?
I'm going to hit pause for a second. Hit pause for me, Ellie. Somebody pause, I'm going to stop. Why did Rav David Cohn?
It's place of the right. You're lost. Oh, so and the third sheet, so far I have Mutter Rosser. The third sheet to which I tell people when they ask me the Shaila, and I think Rosh Hashanah would have been Makabal as well. It's maybe it wasn't feasible for Enjap in that case. But is the Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Now, if you look high and low, you will not find it in this tshuva that I just quoted. He doesn't say it. As far as I know, the only place it was ever written was he wrote a letter to the Hanhala of Or Sameach in Yerushalayim. And it's quoted, it's Yiddu, that this psak in the name of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that he said, it's not so pashut that it should be mutter. All those Torahs, Alan, you said, or Shom Zalman, or was not willing to be makabel by themselves. He says you have a little bit of an achrayis yourself. You have to be masalik your achrayis. How do you masalik your achrayis? Tell them they can sleep over. I, there's only a one in a million. So we saw earlier in the shir. We saw, as one of the first things I mentioned, according to the whole leket of Achronim, well, when it's only a suffix whether they're going to violate, even if the suffix is one in a million, we can rely on that suffix. And that, in essence, is what Shlomo Zalman said. Even though what the odds that they're going to sleep over, but as long as you invite them, you've given them the option, then it's already begetter suffix, and then it's not my achrayis. And that is, I believe, the most common. Again, there are people who just invite without asking. They have Rav Sternbach, they have Rav David Cohen to rely on. But if they'll ask, most Rabbanim, I don't think it goes so far. He said what?
He said the same thing. He says invite for all the Shabbos.
For sure. Rav Sternbach. Okay, I think that's the most. I heard this. Yes, I believe so. I heard this from a Rosenzweig. That, I think, is the most. I believe it's the most. So again, I don't know too many people who are machmel like Rav Moshe. I don't know how many people are willing to be making all the way like Dom Cohen either. But the more middle shot, I think, is one. I just want to. I'll give you the truth.
You know. The invitation, I know he said, but it's not the same thing.
Which, what is that?
Are you trying to compare the invitations to this other Shabbos? They're providing something for Shabbos.
That's the case of Shom Zalman.
You're comparing that to the invitation?
What's the difference?
If I send an invitation for people coming for Shabbos.
What's the difference?
Because that's not a. Because there you're doing the same kier when you invite your uncle to come.
Yes, yes.
You're not working on brother.
Yes, yes, yes. He held its usher. He held its usher.
Yeah, because by invitation, it's not a kira.
He held its usher.
He's just coming to visit.
He held its best mitzvah b'avera. He held its usher.
That doesn't compare to kira.
He held its usher. Kira
also.
Yes, yes. You can't do it. One thing I want to say. This is important. I think because again, I hear this from a few different people. It's important to know. It's not hakol mutar l'shem kira. Just like as our Shefta very controversially just published for another time, he was talking about doctors. Our Shefta just published the Torah on Shabbos. He's speaking about doctors and Shabbos. It's not hakol mutar for doctors on Shabbos. It's not hakol mutar for kiruv either. It has to be understood. It's not hakol mutar. So whatever you want to slice it, the point is these are major, major issues. And even though we have, I hope, good impulses for kiruv, we still have to do it by hadracha, so we shouldn't, as I say, be over a mitzvah b'avera. A good Shabbos.